My friends, in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. I'd like to consider with you this morning the words of our gospel reading as Jesus reveals himself to be the true vine and we the branches that are attached to that vine and from him we draw our life. Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of the vine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is God's word. All right, so the thing that really stands out about this gospel reading, I think you heard it, is the prevalence of the word abide. But does anybody even use that word anymore? I mean, when's the last time you invited someone over to your house to abide? And yet our Lord uses that word 6 times in this text, which means that it's a pretty important word, and that anyone who loves Christ and who wants to understand what he's saying here is going to want to get a handle on that word, abide. What is that? But before we get into that, another thing you might have noticed about this passage is how fierce the language is. The cutting, the pruning, the throwing away, the casting into fire. And at first you might think that Jesus is threatening us. This is what's going to happen to you and what I'm going to do to you if you don't abide in me. But I tend to think that it's not so much a threat as just a matter-of-fact description of what happens when a person is not connected to the life source anymore. When you're cut off, you end up withered and useless and fruitless, like the dead branches and the twigs that we clean up from our yards and we take to the burn pile. And besides, the cutting and the pruning of the branches is not a picture of wrath and of judgment, but of the careful maintenance of a connected and a living branch by a skilled vine dresser. Even the best branches are going to get cut and pruned, just as Christ's disciples will experience God's pruning in their lives as trials and disappointments and difficulties. It's God's way of cutting away the things that are preventing you from being a more fruitful Christian. And it's always a painful process when God prunes us. So the big question before us is, how will you branches respond when you have been pruned? And in my experience, I have seen this go both ways. I remember a man up in Michigan who accidentally killed his own little son when he backed over him. And yet out of that severe trial that might have crushed many of us, emerged a man with the most stalwart faith and the most committed love of God you'll ever see. But I've seen it go the other way too. I remember one young lady whose beloved grandpa died, and she became so bitter toward God that her doubts and her anger overwhelmed her faith, and she withered away as a Christian. I have seen Christians respond both ways when God sets to pruning their lives. And the difference, in my experience, is that the ones who become more fruitful after they have been pruned are the ones who have been abiding in Christ, whereas the ones who wither away in bitterness and anger in the face of their trials are the ones whose connection to Christ had been kind of shaky to start with. They had not been abiding in Christ. And that's the whole point of this passage, isn't it? It's about abiding in Jesus. Not that hanging by the thread kind of connection that so many Christians seem to be content with. The kind of connection to Christ that can go for weeks on end without any nourishment of the Word or the sacraments, without prayer, without the reading and the study of Scriptures. Maybe that is enough of a connection to keep you alive, barely alive in Christ. Like Isaiah's, bent reed. Yeah, it's alive, but only barely alive. And it's certainly not the healthy kind of connection that's going to produce a lot of fruit or be able to withstand the day of pruning when our trials press hard in our lives. So abiding is about, it's about more than being just connected. And to understand the difference, just look at the way we use technology. My goodness, connections. Do we have connections? We have friends galore on Facebook, and yet fewer and fewer friends that we can actually talk with in person. We are LinkedIn all over the place, and yet the rates of loneliness and depression are skyrocketing. We are connected to more sources of news and information and entertainment than anyone would have ever thought possible. And yet at the same time, sociologists are telling us people are starved for real experiences and real relationships. And I think there, in the way we use technology, there is a clue about what the Lord means when He says abide. The Greek word for abide means something like to tarry, to linger, to hang around, to stay put for a while. And so you might think of it this way. You see, connection is a Facebook interaction. But abiding is a long, lazy summer evening talking together on the front porch. Connection is a quick exchange of Snapchats. But abiding is having your friends over for some face-to-face and some barbecue. Connection is two kids sitting together in the back seat of the car on a long drive texting each other. Yeah, it happened in our family. But abiding is when they put those electronics down and they use that long trip to talk together and laugh with each other and tell stories and grow in their appreciation for each other. And when it comes to Christ, connection is worshiping once in a while, when and if it's convenient, but abiding is to cherish Christ so deeply that spending quality time with Him in worship, in the reading and the study of the Scriptures, in devotions, becomes a top-tier priority. And you can always tell which Christians are truly abiding in Christ and not just this barely hanging on kind of connection. The Christians who are abiding in Christ have a way of talking. They say things like the psalmist, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. And, oh Lord, I love your word. It is my meditation all the day long. Christians who are really abiding in Christ say things like, I rejoiced when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Christians who are abiding in Christ talk like Paul did to the Philippians when he said, I want to know Christ. Christians who talk like that are not just barely connected to Christ. They are abiding in Christ. They don't just own a Bible. They read it and they mark it and they learn it and they inwardly digest it. They don't just have their names on a church membership roster. They love God's house. And they don't leave the Christian instruction of their children to the church alone. But they diligently impress God's word on the hearts of their children, talking about it when they sit at home, when they travel on the road, when they lie down and when they get up. These are the ones who are abiding in Jesus. And not only will they prevail on the day when God prunes their lives, But they will become even more fruitful as Christians. And the reason it's so important for them to abide in Christ is that I think they've understood and they appreciate what it meant for Jesus to establish that connection with us branches. Unlike a grapevine that you might plant in your backyard that grows its branches naturally, we did not become branches on Jesus the vine by any process of nature. If you want to talk about nature, the Bible says that we are by nature the objects of God's wrath. We were cut off from God from the very beginning. We started life this way. We were conceived in sin. We were born in iniquity. By nature, cut off from God. And that's to say nothing of all the awful things that we've done, all the rotten fruit that we've borne in our lives since the day we were born, all the things we've done and said, all the ways we've hurt each other. For dead branches like us to connect to the living vine like Jesus, we had to be grafted in. We didn't grow naturally. We had to be grafted in. But here's the thing. In order for a graft to take hold, the vine must itself be cut and sliced and slashed. Watch a little video here, if you will. And notice what the vine has to go through in order to receive a little branch. It's not a very good quality, but see if you can see what happens to the vine to get it ready to receive a graft. First, look at that, lopped right off. And then it has to be cut some more. And then it has to be stripped. And then, of course, the cuts have to be made. And you thought it hurt when God was pruning you? But did you remember what Jesus the vine had to go through so that we could abide in Him? He had to submit Himself to being cut and pruned and stripped and sliced and slashed and even killed, that from the blood of His wounds might flow the life for us, like life-giving sap from a vine to a grafted branch. And as His life flows into the graft, we come alive with His life. And we become fruitful as He gives us strength to do so. And given the depth of love by which Christ offered His wounds as the grafting point from which we might draw our life and our forgiveness and our salvation, I want more than a connection to Him. I want to abide in Him. I want to know Him better. I want more than an occasional text message prayer. I want that long, lazy summer evening on the front porch with Him. I want to sit at His feet whenever I can, like Mary did, to soak in His life-giving words. I want to worship. I want to study His Word and read it. I want devotions at home. And I want to be fruitful. I want to produce fruit for Him, the fruit of good works that glorify my Father in heaven and that benefit my neighbor. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Savior and in service to Him to the extent that even when God prunes me, even when He cuts away whatever is making me less of a Christian than I ought to be, I will draw strength from the vine who went through far worse for me, and I will be only stronger and more fruitful. And the devil will have no foothold in my life to work doubt and bitterness in my heart. A connection to Jesus, the vine, is good as far as it goes. But why would you be content with that, as so many of us seem to be? 6 times in this text, Jesus uses the word abide because that's what He wants with you. Not just a barely hanging on kind of connection, but this abiding relationship in which we, the branches, draw our life from Him, and then in which we reciprocate the love that He demonstrated when He laid down His life for us on the cross. Anything less than abiding just doesn't cut it when you have a Savior who loved you that much. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.